one main section here, the capital improvements, kind of public facilities, Josh is going to list about, so just kind of get those. This will be a little more straightforward, actually. What's the question you're asking about? Does this go into, you're starting to ask the question.
Oh, I was just checking on our time, because I can't remember if we had you guys here until noon or till 1.
1 to 1.
Okay.
I think 1, but Chip was supposed to provide lunch from Texas Roadhouse.
We still got snacks. Well, Davey brought you breakfast.
There's some bacon over there.
Yes.
So we've covered a lot of ground. Public facilities is one that had a lot of individual things on it, so we're going to talk about that. And try and flesh that out a little bit more, and then finish up with covering any highlights that I glossed over that you guys want included more. Public facilities, what I'm going to start with is one of the things that we put up in was a 5-year capital improvement plan. And that really is, you know, the goal there is just to take it out of Kevin's head and put it on a piece of paper, right? So there's really not as much to that. I think the rest of the things we're going to talk about are going to help him with prioritizing what, you know, he probably has in his head about the things they need to do, and you guys' preferences for what goes first and what you get updated, so at least in some ways. So with that being said, there's a lot of different things you got to talk about in public facilities. So streetlights, sidewalks, maintenance of grounds in several different capacities, entrance side, public restrooms, city hall, Main Street. I probably want to start with Main Street, just where you are on that and what that looks like, because I think that's like the next big project to drop, I guess.
Yeah, so we have Seaman Whiteside as the consultant on that, and they have, I think all of you but Adam has come by and seen the plans for, which is 95% of what you saw with the strategic plan, or the downtown master plan, I should say. What you saw was what they call a 30% drawing, so they're now in the process of taking that up to 60%. Then it'll come back for one more review. The funding is secure. I probably have some due diligence to do, Chip, with your staff at the COG to make sure I've got everything lined up. I can't remember right off the top of my head. Sometime later this year, we will have that ready to go out to bid.
Okay.
And I say later, it's certainly after the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Either in the third or fourth quarter. Just because there's the due diligence that we do with the COG, because
yeah,
it's federal.
Right. It takes time.
But the thing that we talked a little bit about yesterday is what's included in that grant and what's not. What's included is redoing the streetscape, redoing some of the parking, adding some features like a gateway, columns that would be on Retreat Street. But what's not included in there is the water line that runs down Main and the fire hydrants. Fire hydrants, they may allow us to include in the grant, but then we have to take that money out. The water lines themselves do not serve residents, so we have to pay for that. Just like we did with Oak Street, my preference would be that we go in and we assess the condition of that water main running down Main Street, because we don't even know all the places it could go, and nobody on staff really knows the condition of that. The water moves. If Michael turns the hydrants on, it flows. We know that. We know where it begins. We know where it ends. We don't know if there's any tangents off of it. But we really need to assess that and determine if we need to reline that pipe or put in a new pipe. That is not covered with the grant. That's what could add, I don't know, I don't want to say $1 million, but it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars to go the full length of Main. My opinion is that if we go in and do part of it, we should do the whole thing, because we plan to do all of Main Street. And there's just an economy of scale at doing it at once rather than, because it's really just the one line.
Well, there's not any train of thought whatsoever that that's going to be in good shape, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, we pretty much know. So let's just say it is what it is. We're going to have to come up with money for that.
Yeah.
How long has that water line been in there since?
beginning of time.
The problem is they don't know.
So I've seen pictures of like the elevations of like in front of City Hall, and I think Jamie has them, where the elevations changed. There used to be like steps going down to the road from City Hall, so there's been like elevation changes in that area. There's no telling what kind of shape it's in, you know, how much weight's been put on it.
No.
It runs down the middle of Main Street.
I don't know if we even know exactly what part of Main Street it runs.
Yeah.
It's under it.
It's in town. We know it's in town.
It's in town.
It opened up kind of like underground Atlanta.
So as we look at this, finding the funds to do that, and some of it is we'll ask Troy Rozier and his group to come in, start identifying what we have, mapping what we have, assessing the conditions, determining what we should do. Again, I go back to, and I hear you, Mayor, you don't want to borrow money if we don't have to. That may be something that, in order to get it done within the time limit of the grant, because the grant isn't going to say we have to have it all done this year. That's me pushing. So we can close the grant, go get the next one. We have about 24 to 36 months to get it done. So we can slow that down to get it done so that we can have a couple of budget cycles to bring the money in. There's a number of ways that we can go about doing it. But that, and I'm not pushing you to give me an answer today, but as we develop this list, and I'll go back to Oak Street and Main Street, and then a little section of Lucky Street up by the Westminster Senior Outreach and the American Legion building. And then we have a number of manholes that we talked about yesterday that need to be addressed. We will take and we'll pull all that together so that I can say, here's how many of each of those things are, and here's how much we think it'll cost. How do you want us to go about addressing it? You know, my mode is to get as much done as quick as we can get it done. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for you to guide me on pulling back on some of that. If you don't want to borrow the money and you want to do more of the pay-go, we can do it that way. On the sewer, for next year, we're going to have to address these manholes. Because we've got some that just, they should be fixed right now. We just don't have the money to do it. Stuff like Main Street, you've got more time to do that. So I'll be, as we talk in council meetings over the next couple of months and as we go through this budget process, think about where you want me to guide these things for you.
You turned that on?
I turned it on.
Okay. Well, the thing about it, we've been really consistent, this council and, I mean, just for the last few years, with making the infrastructure a priority. And then doing whatever else we can. We ain't just putting all the money in one bucket. But we do need to know what the priority is on that, because we got a lot of projects that we want to do that we don't have to do.
And Oak Street could be one of those where the priority, because as Adam mentioned this earlier, we haven't completed the assessment of it. You might wait another year before you have to address that.
Yeah.
The manholes are things that I know we've got somewhere between 3 and 10 that we need to address as soon as we can address them. And that's really with the next budget cycle, putting money aside. So you guide me, like what is it that you want to do? The downside to not addressing the Oak Street, the upside to addressing Oak Street, we can show DHEC what we did there and possibly get out from under the consent order. Then we can pave the street. You know, you can improve that little bit of town, or that smaller section of town in terms of the sewer infrastructure, but you don't have anything pleasant to show.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing above ground that's gonna look nice.
Mm.
You can't take pictures while you're under there fixing the sewer?
Mm. I don't think you want to see those pictures.
Didn't we go to an OJRSA thing where they had pictures of people down in the sewer?
Yeah, they did, but they didn't show you the really fun stuff.
Just make sure you get the scratch and stuff once. It's great.
Oh.
So what is, if I could, take just a minute, Chip.
No, this is,
where do y'all fall on that? Like, how?
Is it worth you putting together at least us having a priority being for just those?
I mean, we're working on that list right now, and I would be happy to schedule a work session if that's what you want, just so we can talk about that.
I mean, that would definitely help me, because just trying to pick one just out of what we've talked about in the last 2 days.
Yeah, I agree with
that.
I'm gonna miss something.
Okay.
I will say on the Oak Street, I hear what you're saying, that it's not sexy, it's not something pretty to look at. When you drive your car over it and you're worried about losing a hubcap, and then all of a sudden you're not, it's pretty sexy. It is an area that has gotten a lot of chatter. So
it has, but what the people who are doing that chatter don't realize is it's not a $5,000 patch in the
I know
patch
they don't
it's a $5 million
that.
Sewer replacement.
Yeah.
To get that, to get to that. And that's what we've got to determine, is it worth the cost?
Yeah.
Right.
And there's, you know, like the water main on Main Street, you know, when you're talking about that, becomes a timing issue, because you don't want to do that while you're doing the Main Street project.
Okay.
You don't want to do the Main Street project and say, well, okay, 3 years from now, we're going to tear all that up. So we can, you know. So, you know, some of that plays into a timing in context of other things going on. The consent order, things like that, you know, will help you kind of also identify those, not just cost, but so.
But still finding the funding for that.
Right.
Sure.
Right. The electrical infrastructure, making that a priority was easy, because there was a big payback on that.
Yes.
There's not on this water and sewer.
On sewer, there really is not.
Right. It's just a need. There's no payback to it.
Yeah. Sewer is nothing but a drag on every community.
And there's a payback with water.
Yeah, there's some, but replacing this on Main Street is not really a payback. We're not going to gain anything by doing it. It's just something we have to do.
Yeah.
All the electrical infrastructure we did, we saw.
You'll see your gain on that, but it'll be a long time from now
when you're able to
attract the new businesses, because we have a better, you know, downtown.
Maybe I'm opening another can of worms on this. I'm trying not to. You tell me, and we can just go past this.
You are.
I'm sure. Thank you. Is there, with the sewage line so bad in that area, does there have to be an environmental study to see if there's leakage into?
I don't think so.
Runoff and storm?
I don't believe that we have anything that's at that level.
Okay.
Typically, if you're putting in new sewer lines, you do that type of environmental review that I think you're talking about.
Right.
But even though the sewer lines are in bad shape, we don't have any identified sanitary sewer overflows in that area.
Good.
So I don't believe that we have an environmental issue that we have to remedy there.
Typically, the lines in the ground are not a concern, except when they overflow to the extent that manholes pop up, or you're carrying too much infill infiltration into a plant is causing problems from that standpoint. It's not it's not a leak out problem, it's a leak in problem.
I was looking at the possibility of some of that social media stuff. I mean, that people take something around with it to an extent, and that's why.
Most of the time you worry about it when it comes above the surface, and I don't think we have anything in there. You don't have anybody in that vicinity that's using a well. So I don't believe that there would be an issue.
I was thinking about that area below it,
but kind of close to your point is, you know, we've talked a couple of times about the OJRSA and what they're doing.
Sure.
Because they're under a consent order too, and the way that they have to remedy their consent order is they now have to, in this calendar year, ramp up pushing us to do things to improve the system so that they can report that they did that. Because our permit actually to operate a sanitary sewer system actually comes through the OJRSA.
Right.
So their consent order, and we talked yesterday morning about when the cities will get together with the sewer authority to start reporting because Westminster and Wahala both have consent orders, what we're doing to remedy our inflow and infiltration, and we're going to have to start providing documents, narrative, and metrics. A lot of that we have, but what we haven't done is go in and actually replace very much pipe. Before Lee Baker left, we did some, I'm going to say it was pipe bursting, but it's we didn't
sleeve.
Actually have to drill, yeah, the
sleeve.
Where you pull the sleeves through, and we replaced, I don't know, a couple hundred linear feet in very patchwork areas where we had identified it was really bad. That is the only lines that we've actually replaced. Now, we've done a lot of diagnostics. We've done a lot of tracking. So at some point, we're going to have to start producing that end.
Is there a possibility for a grant from the state to do that? Or?
They will push us to the RIA.
Yeah.
And those are not big enough to cover the Oak Street.
Yeah.
Probably not. I mean, you can go up to $1 million now, but, you know, the way they did that $1 million, you got to come up with more match to get to $1 million.
Yeah.
And the what guides what your match is how many people, how many residences you touch.
Mm-hmm.
There are no residences on Oak Street.
Mm-hmm.
They all come off those ancillary roads.
Yeah.
So it gets a little bit more challenging even to get the RIA money for that section of Oak that's the worst. Now, some of it can cover some of those other areas.
Is that section beyond Sleeping?
I don't know. We haven't talked to Troy to see what his assessment is. I think we have that meeting with him. We have it tomorrow. So I'll have a whole lot. I don't know if I'll have all the answers tomorrow, but I'll have a lot more.
With the Sphinx expansion, that will not go to Oak Street.
No, it goes...
All right.
Well, actually, I think it goes down 123, or it would go back behind their property, I think is the way those sewer lines
go. Down to Hampton. That creek
Hampton.
Down by Hampton that we've already replaced a few years ago.
Good.
So, with that, what I hear is, you know, for water and sewer lines both, you know, you're going to get a report, you're going to have an idea of what projects you have to do are. The next steps are really to come back to you guys for a workshop to say, okay, here's all the things we need to get done. What order do we do in them? How do we knock them off? You know, some of that's, you know, need to do it with another project. Some of that's what's the priority. You guys will kind of do that. And it won't be something you're going to knock off in the next year because there's just more, you know. But, you know, you can, once you realize how big a chunk it is, then you can have a discussion about how you, you know, go that one spoonful at a time or try and, you know, get the whole cake and do it like that. So, even water and sewer.
Well, I was just going to say real quick, if we decide to go with the RIA grant on the water tank, it's designed and permitted.
Mm.
So it will go quicker than most of the time, which just means it takes a year and a half instead of 2.5 years. That's the benefit of that project, is that Troy already designed it when we thought it was going to be in the RD funding. I say that because if we could get that grant, clear that grant, and then go back and get more RIA money that we could use for Oak Street, and rather than it being 5 years down the road, it's 2 years down the road.
If we can sleeve it, maybe that grant will cover it. I don't know what that costs.
It's usually a lot cheaper than trenching it.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, okay, sorry.
Okay. No, sir. Streetlights and sidewalks were two that got talked about a lot. So, streetlights, you just want to see expanded around town. That's it.
Well, so we got this grant for LED streetlights secured by our assistant city administrator who decided to have the flu today, so he can't speak to it. I think the next step is to get them on the poles.
Yes.
Am I right about that?
So, real quick. The grant we had to prove that everything in the light fixture was made in America, by America, Build America. We've now cleared that hurdle. They've signed off on the fixture, so we're good. I think we've actually even ordered them. But I think the next step is actually to start putting money aside to change out all our streetlights to the LED lights.
Sure.
We've talked about how dark it is, even with some of the streetlights we have. And talking with Taylor Price, he's like, if we change these over to LEDs, you're going to light the whole town up.
Right.
The light's going to go farther.
Well, you see it in Anderson direction. Park.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, we lit it up.
Yeah.
After we install the ones that we've already got the grant for, is there a possibility of going after the same grant again next year, or is that not?
We can try. Usually they don't fund the same thing twice. This is through the energy office. Their energy grants, $10,000 each.
Yes.
At one point, we had identified another source with our grant writer that we were going to try and get them to fund. I'll just have to go back and ask her who we were going to ask.
And I also think that it would be beneficial to have, and this may kind of fall under the CIP that we were talking about earlier, having Kevin Harbin or someone create sort of a step-by-step process to replacing lights, because I can tell him all day long the lights that are out that I see on my route, but until he takes some time to do that work and see that.
Well, I think that would be you guys setting up priority. Do you want to start in the neighborhoods? Do you want to be on the main corridors? Because you likely aren't going to have enough money the first year to do it all.
Right, right.
So you identify what, if you want neighborhoods, tell us which ones. If you want the corridors, tell us which ones.
How many do we have?
Ooh. If I said a bunch, is that specific enough?
No.
So maybe what makes the assessment of what the light, you know, where they are, what they are, and maybe the ones that aren't working now, you know, to help them make a decision about.
I think it makes most sense to start Main Street. Makes most sense.
Yeah, we don't want to get into an issue where we causing light pollution in the neighborhoods where you got people complaining it's too bright at night. So the main thoroughfares, I think, would be from this lane to where you run.
Yeah, Main Street, 123, maybe north. I'm thinking about some traffic between from Valley Land back, maybe north and Abbey, where they can't quite hide.
Well, I've got one that I have completely forgotten about that I talked to you about before. This is something we definitely are going to have to look at, and that's a sidewalk from Thrift Hardware out to the Dollar General on 76.
Yep.
Because foot traffic, that's what reminded me of it, the foot traffic at night there.
Yep.
People in black clothing, it is constant.
Yep.
And somebody's going to get hit right there if we don't figure out a way to get sidewalks out there.
What was that one?
Highway 76 from the Dollar General store into town.
You could just say $2 General.
Yeah.
That's out
of town. That is actually getting more and more traffic. They're going past it, on out past me. I don't know where these people are coming from.
Well, they're coming from going to Long Creek.
I don't know who them people are. But I mean, we literally, it's every night. If you go leave my house and go out to the Dollar General, or if I'm working late at the office and go home, there's somebody walking in dark clothes. Yeah. And there's no sidewalk.
Do y'all run by your house?
No.
123 going down Fort Orchard Park also kind of fall in that category?
I hadn't seen that many people out there, but 76 out going to that Dollar General, it's constant.
Well, they walk through my yard every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they go right through your yard and they stay on the edge of the road all the way out there.
They're either on my yard or the one across the street.
Well, and yeah, mm-hmm. And that points to the sidewalk issue that I raised, I guess it was last year, was sidewalk consistency from one side of the street to the other. You know, because in that area, on one side, you can go a little bit down the road on a sidewalk. But like, for example, from the rec department to West Oak Middle, you can't walk on the same side of the street or on both sides of the street and be on the sidewalk.
It would be nice to have it on Simpson to the middle school from 76, but there's not that much traffic there.
There's not a ton, though.
The main part is 76 of that Dollar General.
Yeah.
And once Dollar General was built, it tripled the number of people walking it.
Yeah, and that's where they're going, because they're carrying Dollar General bags back.
Oh, yeah. We like that Dollar General. We go there, too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is.
So what I'm hearing is for sidewalks, there is a need for consistency, probably a need for improvement in places, but there's also a need for maybe a citywide assessment of, you know, where you need them.
Yeah.
Somebody to go out there and tell you where all the goat paths are, basically. So where you're walking through yards and things like that. It's like, okay, this is where people are going. That's where we need a sidewalk, you know.
Yeah, and 2 years ago we did sidewalk replacement. What we focused on was accessibility. So, and Audrey and I have had this discussion. If you guys see or you hear of anybody that has a mobility issue and we have a section, we can make that a priority.
We've got one. Somebody else have to talk to him because he don't like me, but he's constantly on social media complaining and he rolls around in a little wheelchair.
Yeah.
Do y'all know who he is?
Yep.
Brent.
Who?
Brent Shedd.
Okay, yeah, he is one big complainer. But he does complain about that a lot.
I think we got his list on where he was going and we had Kevin Harvin go out and remove the dirt and there's just easy things that we can do. We don't have the money to go in and replace like Mimosa Street where that sidewalk is horrible. But where the grass is grown over or if it's a small section we need, we can do those kind of things.
Gotcha.
So as y'all come across that, let me know and we'll add it to the list.
Well, all the way around, we need to maintain them better than what they are. I mean, this, and I'm not complaining because me and Sharon walk it, but the little section going out Dole Street, I mean, this grass is overgrowing it, breaks at different levels.
Yeah.
And I know if it's there where I'm at, it's like that in other places in town.
Yeah, and that's what we need to know until we get the full thing mapped.
Yeah.
What the hot spots are. Because we had Tima go out last year and clean. Gosh, it felt like he cleaned miles and miles of sidewalk all over town. And we got what we knew about.
Yeah.
But then, like Dole Street, it hadn't even occurred to me to have him go out there and check it.
Well, if you do, then people are going to say they're doing it for the mayor, so I didn't even make it. That's the way it goes.
Presbyterian preacher runs down there, too.
Yeah.
All right, so two other things under public cities and anything I just want. So one was sort of maintenance of grounds. Maintenance of grounds, I'll include the entrance sign because some of that was just general beautification. Hey, take care of your properties and things like that. You know, there's a lot of notes about where that would be. I just kind of got it into all that. What do y'all want to see happen in the next year to kind of address that? Because I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, the exact project you want and the amounts and everything else. It's like, okay, how do we ramp up for that now? So what would y'all like to see happen in the next year for that? Maybe just a plan for it, you know, like inventory of what they are, you know, plan for what you can do short term, and then maybe identify projects that you want to see that are larger scale.
I think,
or maybe identify all the places pollinator gardens go.
Well, I think ease of maintenance is big because Herb and his guys have a hard time. I mean, it takes 10 times as much time to weed eat a hillside than it does just to mow a flat piece of ground. So if we've got these hills that they're having to deal with erosion and weed eat, if we could figure out a way to do something with them that keeps them off of there with a weed eater, that's going to save them time. That's not just for our grass cutting crew for Mr. Jenkins, that's for Herb's employees.
You thinking like mulch or shrubs or
something? Something low maintenance. I mean, it's got to be something. We've got mud washing everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, when you don't have something growing there, people walk through it and it just keeps it eroding. Areas like that behind Euclid Field, that bank, we don't need to start trying to mow that, maintain that, put something on it like the pollinator garden or something. It's just going to be natural. It's not going to grow up. You're in the power line right away there, so you can't put trees on deep fire power, but you could put a pollinator garden.
Yeah.
The other sides of that, you could put trees. You know, something that won't grow up too big and fall over and hit the fence, but.
Kudzu or bamboo.
Kudzu works good. But when you go into Owen Stadium, when you walk down there and go into the field, that whole bank on the right side, You walk out and go down to the baseball field on the far side, all that bank, all that's washing. If it's raining or rained recently and you've got a ball game, then everybody's in the mud.
Yeah.
So it's, there's...
Well, how about one of the next steps for next year being maybe identifying those problem spots, not only from your maintenance crew, but from you guys as you see them or complaints you get from other people, so that you then get the inventory and you can start addressing some of them, you know, if they're easier, because some of them are going to be as simple as we just need to mulch or do this or that. Some of them, you're building retaining walls or doing a whole area of planting, pollinator garden, that's more. And so you're going to kind of need to identify all the problem spots first before you kind of figure out, okay, what's that all going to take and move forward. So maybe within the next year, that's, let's identify all these things, you know, figure out what are, what our problem spots are, what we need to do. And some of that will be, okay, we're going to go fix these now because we can do certain things within just the maintenance budget. But other things are going to be more capital project-ish, and you can identify those within, you know, over the course of the year and start to then next year maybe find funding for them.
I think if we do that, if we come up with a plan for a lot of these little areas around the recreation departments and the ball field, if we come up with a decent plan, we can get volunteers to do a lot of that. We could take a Saturday and get volunteers to show up and do something like that. We can get Boy Scouts. We can get the ROTC Club. Instead of just putting out mulch at the gazebo every year, here's what we're going to do today. You know, take a section and do it and move
you
on.
You tell
from
them
that.
They get community service hours, you'll get a lot of high school students.
Yeah. I mean, there's
National
a lot of stuff
Honor
we
Society,
can do
Data Club,
that will help with that.
Yeah.
FFA,
I mean,
all
of those. Yeah, I mean, I know in Taylor's, you know, the Northwood Little League there, you know, was a nonprofit that every year for a while we used the school district fields. Every year we went up and cleaned up their fields for them. You know, it was like, and that was kind of the cost of doing business to use their field. But we got people out and fixed all kinds of problems for schools in each of their little fields, you know. Okay.
Adam had a good idea. He said we should have a herd of goats instead of a lawnmower.
Petting
zoo,
milk,
and cheese.
I'm telling you, giraffe, kangaroo, goats.
Oh, she took
oh,
it
she
with
took her little thing with her.
It's probably in her bag, isn't it?
Just be careful when you get the goats.
I'm going to tell you, I was innovative.
Furman University has a solar field right across 25 from their campus. And they had a hard time, you know.
Toss it.
They have a hard time maintaining it. So at one point, they got this guy to bring this herd of goats in to eat all the grass, so they didn't have to go and maintain it. And it worked perfectly. Until PETA came along and said, those poor goats have to sit outside in the rain and the cold. I'm like,
you've got to be kidding.
No, not kidding. So they stopped using it and went back to using people to do it. It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. So goats that are naturally from it. Yeah.
I mean,
they're out in the sun in the summer. It's terrible.
It was
a special kind of goat, because most goats will just jump on the solar panels. But this is like some Scottish, you know, breed, and they didn't do that.
We do fainting goats, and every time a ball's hit, they fall over. That's what we do right there.
That would draw grass.
Put them on the bank.
I know a bunch of old goats.
Hey, I'd encourage your boys to hit the ball hard. That's what we'll do.
You know you're getting to the end when.
Yeah.
All right, so maintenance of grounds, beautification and entrances, that kind of goes along with a few other things. Two other things, public restrooms was one of them. Yeah. And is there a plan for that? I know you talked about you want to do it, you kind of have a location, but you just need to figure that. Is that something that's getting done in the next year or something that's just on the horizon?
It's on the horizon, but you know, something that after you mentioned it, it was kind of like a grenade earlier. I thought about it. In one of the other communities I work for, we actually bought a trailer that had as a portable restroom trailer. So that is something we could do. And Herb never has enough bathrooms,
right.
Kind of depending on what's going on. It's the kind of thing that you can move from place to place. That could be a temporary fix.
We looked at a depot. Go ahead.
They bought one for the farm center.
Yeah.
They are nice. You get away with all those porta potties.
It's like a luxury porta potty.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
The weddings and stuff on
there. Yeah. they've started bringing some of those in at the Clemson games as well.
I was about to say, FSU's renovations, that's what they're all going to be next year.
I can't remember the name of that company, but I actually Googled the ones that are all over Clemson.
It was a Jeopardy clue a couple weeks ago. I kid you not, the entire category was on porta-potties, on celebrity Jeopardy.
I was at a barbecue competition down in Panama City a few months ago, and they literally brought one in for that as a way, because it was just a park with no facilities, and they brought one in. They're pretty nice at 3 in the morning.
It would have
because you're up all night.
It would have to save money for all these festivals and everything else, and everything that we needed for.
I was going to say, the idea of you have it kind of in a permanent spot until you have events, then you can move it to that and use it for the event is pretty nice, actually.
Yeah. Well, like Jimmy was talking about this, so if you move it around, you got to have somebody to service it, and that becomes another contract. But if you, he said at the farm center, they just tied it into their sewer.
Yeah, you just have to have a sewer.
Carolina restroom.
When you move it, put it to that.
Carolina restroom.
I thought it was like the kings and queens of something.
Now, we, one thing we looked
at. It was something catchy, Davey. I'm sorry.
It's restroom trailers.
King,
that's what you're talking about.
King and queen thrones.
Something
that
like
that. Don't throw that thing at me, but.
Would you like for me to look at Kings and Queens of Carolina?
Just, if you don't mind, send me that in text.
I don't know if you want to do that.
A few years ago, we looked at getting a railroad caboose and putting permanent bathrooms up there around the gazebo somewhere. Yeah. That thing is still for sale in McCormick. If that's ever something we wanted to do, we could probably get that thing pretty cheap and just have it turned into.
They sell rail cars left and right.
Yeah.
You can get everything.
Well, this is a caboose. This is a cooler looking one of the big ones.
Yeah.
It's but if we had that set up next to the railroad track for public bathrooms, I think it'd be awesome.
Right. So maybe look into a temporary
situation.
Well,
I was going to say, the Duke Trail has one. Have you seen Dave turn into a restaurant?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A, one end is one here. It's either
you got
it's
I did. Thank you.
Well, see, the college.
They went off the rails. Yeah,
I got another one coming to you, Mr. Bronson.
It's cheaper than building the building.
Well, there you go.
So if you could bring it up here, you just have to paint it and
just
have to
like
it.
I said the Doodle Trail on the East has them.
Yes.
And they're very nice.
They are, yeah.
Half of the train car, if that.
Yeah.
It might be your storage for your, when you're talking about storage for Christmas ornaments, for all that kind of stuff, I mean, you might be able to kill two birds with one stone right there for the train car.
It's called the Pretty Potty Company. Because people give a shit where they go. That's the hashtag.
That is awesome. See, marketing. It's all about marketing.
That's the tagline.
I appreciate they're willing to put that out there. That's cool. One last thing was City Hall in the public facilities and improvements there. I guess first is that a short term, long term?
What's that?
Thing for
it depends on whether we can get the county help with that, I think, or a grant.
No.
I think we all want it. We've talked about it. We'd love to have a place to meet that's ours and a nicer place for people to come into.
And as we've talked about it, is it also doubles as a council chamber, doubles as community space.
Right.
We don't have a lot of community space in town. This triggered a memory that I had looked at. You know, you raised the train depot rental fees last year. I don't think we had any decline in rentals.
Wow,
heard increase. Yeah.
Raise it again.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I was going with that. Do you want to raise it again? Because we went up to $250 for 4 hours with $50 an hour thereafter. Just something to think about when we get into the budget. But it still was booked all. We still have people angling for when they can get in.
The College Street property was that's been bought, right?
That's been bought.
Yep, David Brown's got it.
Were they thinking about doing something as far as community space or event space or something like that?
I've heard a lot of things. I have him on my list of people to call. I haven't had a chance to talk with him about his plans.
He's wanting to offer anything he can to help the town. So if it's something he can do, that gym that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The White Pavilion over in Greenville is a good example of something that was done with some older architecture for event space.
And there's historic preservation money he can get for that site, too.
Yes, sir.
Add that under that City Hall, the LA building. We need to just keep that on our radar so that's not forgotten.
So what I will say is all these up here will stay on there. So I will put it on this as part of that. But all of these will be part of the report and just talk about priorities.
Kevin, how much would it cost for us to have somebody come in and do an assessment of that building so we know what we can do and what we can't?
I don't think it costs too much. I can do that, though.
Y'all want to do that just to find out what our capabilities are with that? Because that's a big space with plenty of parking.
It's a nice space. The roof is collapsed in on when you go in the door closest to the middle school. So I'm fairly certain it would need a new roof, but it may cost less to renovate it than to demo it.
Yeah.
Because it's thick. Block walls.
A couple people, I don't know who told me, I can't remember. Has said things like, would the possibility ever be that part of that is part of the rec department? And I really thought about that a lot.
Well, to play games in it, it's not really suitable.
No, not to play games, but administratively for equipment, because those fields, and we're building up more fields, and we're people, and things like that. But that's a couple people mentioned that to me.
Kind of like team meeting space, so the teams could get together in that kind of the small auditorium that's in there. There's a lot of things I think it could be used. It's got a lot of bathrooms in it.
Yeah.
Bathroom stalls, I should say.
Kevin, that roadside table I kind of threw out y'all a few weeks ago, is that something that nobody uses it? Is that something that they'd be willing to turn over to city, or would it even be worth it?
There's nowhere to park.
Yeah, there's nowhere to park. I mean,
it's
there's
just
something
sitting
that
there.
Be done. I don't know how big a piece of property that is. It can't be too big.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something that we can do anything with or
we have. We can get out there and clean it up and put a new picnic table in.
We can?
It's got an easement that it's either ours or DOT's, and I'm fairly certain if I ask DOT, they'll say it's not theirs. And
well, they're the ones that put them in, right?
I don't know.
Somebody checked on that. Jimmy, when was that?
What's that?
6-7 years ago? Somebody was telling us that they I don't remember if it was Chris Carter or Jeff Lord, that those picnic tables on the side of 123, right there where you used to live, that the state highway department put those in random places back in the 60s, just ran them up and down the interstates and different highways and just set them out. So wasn't that who did it?
Yeah.
So that would be theirs, but I don't know whether we would.
We could probably ask the Keep America Beautiful group to.
Yeah, nobody uses them anymore because you can't park because they widen the highway. When I was a kid, though, you could park there.
Okay.
Because people traveling would stop and have picnics.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anybody on a picnic table in 35 years or long.
You can't park there. Statue of Faldrick running right there.
Yeah.
What?
A statue of you running.
I run by there.
For all your life.
Except I run on the other side, usually.
That statue.
But yeah, that alley building
got
a lot.
Of
yeah, I
what about
down there?
That's awesome.
Oh, almost made it.
Who are you throwing that at? You're throwing it at me?
You need to keep the rug and leave the throwing to us.
Yeah. So,
at least I know what your aim is like.
You throw like a girl. Oh,
that covers most everything. Public safety staffing, hiring police chief, and general staffing for more coverage is another one that I'll put up there.
Yeah.
It's something to address this year. That, the Chaga property, which I think was on last year's list, but this year's list too, but there's one other. I'm trying to
think. Riley Street?
Yeah, Riley Street. Sorry. Riley Street
property. I'd like to talk about that one. I'd like to say something about the Riley.
Yeah.
I've had a couple people come to me in Ruth's neighborhood and some folks that live over in that area. And the green space, they would love a green space. Yeah. Because there's There's, I think it's off of Johnson Street.
It is.
There's a basketball goal that they have in the road at the time because they played it, you know.
Yeah.
And so it, Ray could talk with those folks from Clemson to kind of come up with something to see what could be together and then be a real benefit. I'm not thinking so much of a playground or anything, but a green space with a picnic table or.
Do you think more people would use the community garden if we moved it over to there? Because
yes.
They're not using it where it's at now.
Yeah.
You know, the challenge is we need a fence around it.
That's
because that's
the community garden we have.
Yeah, I mean they've got a makeshift one put up there right now.
Yeah, but when we first started that, we still didn't get people involved.
No,
we begged and we couldn't get people.
Well, Casey Certain got a grant this past year for something. They did more of something because of
yeah.
the grant.
I think they did a couple more bids or something. But yeah, where is that? People don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
How is that development coming along? The guy that's building the houses right there around the corner from Rome.
Jonathan was in City Hall yesterday. His plans, as I understand them right now, is to go ahead with 6 houses. We're making sure we've got the ability to serve it with water and sewer, those first 6. But I don't know how they would be oriented on the property.
But still, there's more people moving to the neighborhood.
Yes. Yes.
Well, see, if you had,
they just regraded it. Got all the stumps are gone, and they have the stakes up.
So he's about to start building that. Yeah. So we get
it. I give it to him. I really, he came in under the radar and has just hit it.
Yeah. Well, if he's doing that, then it might be worth it to look at that, and you could do a green space and community garden on the same property, like a little mini park.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a playground, but. I mean, something to give people.
And I even think of something, if it's big enough, a concrete pad for a food truck to be pulled in there and plugged in and be, you know, the people could, that's another space in town that you could make a little revenue off of.
Who owns the property right beside that big asphalt area?
Jerry Smith.
Jerry Smith.
And it's just not being used.
Mm-hmm. And it won't be so. Mm-hmm.
Really, it's just going to sit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's healthy. He'll be there a while.
How old is he?
Healthy. Yeah. And he owns a pharmacy.
Yeah, he owns a pharmacy.
He owns a pharmacy. He bids that alive for another 120 years.
I mean, waiting him out, then.
He's got a ton of time.
Not really.
I don't know. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, that does, that is worth pursuing that Riley Street. Especially with him building there, if we could look at possibly get with them about possibly moving the community garden over there, putting in a green space, it might be used. I mean, it might be something beneficial because where it's at now, it's just the people who are using it are people that don't really need it. They just like gardening, and they don't want it to sit there and make it. Y'all still got a bed over there?
We haven't done it in a long
time. What this?
McDonald's kitchen.
The only local people that really needed it wouldn't take a garden, but they'd come down there at night and take from the garden.
Mm.
But that happened all the time.
Ruth.
Yes.
Would you think maybe something like that basketball court, the half court design you've got there, maybe something for the kids right there, or just as a thought right there?
Basketball.
Something for the kids in that space in the Riley.
Well, we don't have too many kids. It's the only the people that's in the housing project.
Okay.
Yeah, we down further, we don't have kids. Okay.
So the green space is better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's on the list is something to look into over the next
yep.
year kind of thing. And look at that and come up with some ideas. That covers most everything y'all put out there, so. 22 minutes early. Anything else y'all want me to put up here? All right. So what I'll do is I'll take this. I'm going to be out of town next week. Rough life, jump on skin. But hopefully not dying. So it'll be a few weeks. But what I'll do is I'll take all this and I'll have a summary. Everything they got written up here today will be on the sheet. And then it'll be, you know, so it'll just be kind of, this is the raw material and then how we kind of boiled it down and talked about some of those things and kind of some report. So something that you guys can review with Kevin, you know, tweak it as you want. It'll just be my take on what I heard today. And then you guys look at that. And that's something you can use kind of moving forward next year. Here's the your story priorities, and this isn't necessarily a 1 through 10, but it will kind of highlight here's, you know, what was listed as more important, less important, things like that. So you have an idea as you go into budget discussions about what you're going to do and set your priorities for the next year. So thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Will you just adjourn?
Yeah. Does anybody have anything else for Kevin or anything? All right, move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.